95.1BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. It's not an actual list of associates that some had expected, but hundreds of newly unsealed court documents, which CBS is reviewing, that reveals names of dozens of people connected to Jeffrey Epstein, including business associates and accusers, among others. CBS's Nancy Chen reports.
40 documents in total, more than 940 pages plus. It's important to note that being named does not necessarily mean that someone had knowledge of or involvement in Epstein's crimes, with the documents also including the names of accusers along with potential witnesses.
The Justice Department sues Texas for not scrapping a law that would allow police to arrest migrants who enter the U.S. illegally.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott signed the immigration bill into law last month.
The goal of Senate Bill 4 is to stop the tidal wave of illegal entry into Texas. It creates a criminal offense for illegal entry into Texas from a foreign nation.
The DOJ calls the law clearly unconstitutional. Migrants' rights groups refer to it as a show-us-your-papers law. Chris Fox for CBS News, Austin.
Meantime, Republican lawmakers, including House Speaker Mike Johnson, while at the U.S.-Mexico border in Texas, demand President Biden implement stricter border security. A New Jersey imam is shot multiple times outside of his Newark mosque and dies. No one is in custody, and acting Essex County prosecutor Theodore Stevens says the evidence does not indicate bias or terrorism.
While I've indicated that this investigation is at the very early stages, the impact on the community of this sort of particularly dastardly crime cannot be understated.
Drugs being scooped up for weight loss may come with undesirable effects. CBS's Alexander Tin on what the FDA is doing.
The agency says it is now probing the possibility that patients taking so-called GLP-1 medications like Wegovy and Ozempic, which have boomed in popularity for their use in weight loss, might be at greater risk of three new issues: suicidal ideation, alopecia, a.k.a. hair loss, and aspiration, a complication during anesthesia when food goes down the windpipe.
Former President Trump takes his Colorado ballot ban case to the U.S. Supreme Court. CBS legal contributor Thane Rosenbaum.
If they decide to hear this case, which I suspect they will hear it on an emergency basis, because the whole point is that Super Tuesday is March 5th. And what's happened is that the Supreme Court of Colorado has legally disqualified President Trump from being on a ballot.
West Point Military Academy will continue considering race in admissions for now. A federal judge has rejected a request for a preliminary injunction sought by the group Students for Fair Admissions. On Wall Street today, stocks tumbled. The Dow closed down 285 points. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Are you ready to enjoy retirement?
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin State Capitol building received a false bomb threat Wednesday morning. It was one of several state capitol buildings across the country to receive such a threat. The building did not go into lockdown or need to evacuate, as the email threat was quickly deemed a hoax. A spokesperson with the Department of Administration says that they took additional safety measures to ensure the safety of everyone in the building. Respiratory illnesses are on the rise in Wisconsin, and there's no let-up in sight. Dr. Jeffrey Potoff is Chief Quality Officer for UW Health.
We are seeing an increase in number of patients admitted with respiratory illnesses compared with the number of patients admitted around Thanksgiving time. We're up about 40%.
Hospitals are requiring masks again. About 1,000 people in Wisconsin died from COVID-19 last year. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Here come the Bears. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers host the Chicago Bears Sunday at 3:25 at Lambeau Field. Now, if the Packers win, they're in the playoffs. But the Bears have improved. They've won four of their last five games, including beating the division leaders, the Detroit Lions. Matt LaFleur.
It really means nothing unless we take care of business in Lambeau. We were in a similar situation a year ago and couldn't get it done. So we know it's going to be a tremendous challenge. I think Chicago is as improved as any team, and I'm sure they'd love have nothing more than to knock us out of the playoffs.
College hoops, the Badgers with a win over Iowa, 83-72 at the Kohl Center. Guard Chucky Hepburn able to play for much of the game after recovering from an injury over the holidays. Greg Guard.
You know, we're fortunate that we had the break that we had, you know, in terms of the days off and the rehab and stuff that he's been doing, but he's feeling good, and I thought he did some good things, especially the second half. He got going defensively and sparked us.
That's the Badgers head basketball coach, Greg Guard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michael. Patchy areas of freezing drizzle and flurries tonight with a mostly cloudy sky and lows in the mid-20s. For tomorrow, a mixture of sunshine and clouds, highs in the low 30s. Clouds back in full force in mid-30s for Friday, maybe some flurries on Saturday. Right now it's 33.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
News, talk, and the sports that made Wisconsin great. Packers, Bucks, and coming in 2024, the Brewers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, didn't cut a dude.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade, which means distant thunder. Hey, Kadigi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon, supporting honest Native news, stories, and events from Natives themselves. Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon.
Hey, we got an awesome show here, and Haley's overdoing her work. She's got a really good guest lined up here, and you know, and I'm excited to talk to Willard Mailbear Jr., who's an artist and founder and CEO of United Theory Collective, and I'm really excited to talk to about his story and what he's doing for the community. It's funny, Haley, we talked a little bit before the show, and it's like so many people in our Native community here, and especially here in the Twin Cities, because we know so many people, they wear so many hats.
Right.
And it's really, and Willard does too. So it was just really fun that you pointed that out, because, yeah, a lot of these doers do a lot of things.
Yeah, exactly. And, yeah, it is just such a funny thing. I feel like so many people are doing really great, amazing work all over in different types of things. But I first found Willard as his tattoo artist, his tattoo work. So,
yeah,
I'm excited to get and pick his brain a little bit. I know he took over running the 38+2 Dakota Memorial run and the ride. So I'm excited to hear how that went this year.
Yeah, definitely. And I was a little under weather, so I wasn't able to make it to Mankato. And but we're excited to have him on. And also, before we talk a little bit about some birthdays in hockey, you know, we're not going to be saying this much more, but guess what time of year it is?
I know. Well, it's time to get your health insurance in check. And if you're looking for the right plan for you, head over and talk to our friends at MinSure. That's MinSure.org. They'll help you find the most affordable and best plan that fits your needs. MinSure.org.
Yeah, right on. Hey, whose birthday is it? You know, I feel like singing the birthday song, but you're too young to know that song. But it's happy, happy birthday to every girl and boy. Hope this very special day brings you lots of joy. So that's been in that whole song. I know the whole song, and that's been burned in my memory from a kids show that was on 7 years, Casey Jones, here in the Twin Cities. And that's the birthday club song. And they used to mess with Casey, too. They'd put names up there, and excuse me, he'd be saying like, Haley Cherry, happy birthday to Harry Haley Cherry. And I don't know. Or Zoe Cherry.
Yeah. There you go.
and they'd throw in there Rusty Nail. And he'd say, happy birthday to Rusty Nail. And it was like, he'd start laughing, and then he wouldn't get through the names. So I don't know if he had a few little shots during the show or what, but they were always messing with him.
Well, we do our birthday shout outs on the show. We try to remember all of our friends and our relatives. So sorry if we might have forgotten to give you a birthday shout out. But speaking of Willard, it is Willard's birthday today. So happy birthday, Willard Mail Bear. And also it's my Jaji, my dad's birthday. So big happy birthday to both of them.
Yeah, definitely. And how old is your dad?
That's a great question.
You get to know your father, Haley. You know, we're not around forever. You know, these are questions you need to ask when the fire's at the fireplace or you're on the... Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think he might be 54. It's not 55.
You could lie to me. I don't think...
I think it's 54.
I don't think...
Well, you guys are 10 years apart, so...
Really?
What would that be?
52 then, because I'm only 62. Oh.
Okay, so yeah, maybe that's not right either.
Oh my god! Maybe
but anyways,
show over here. Oh no,
we're the hockey. We've got women's hockey on.
Yeah, I know you're pumped, and I'm pumped too to hear about that. Another professional league and another women's professional league, which is even exciting. They'll be on Bally Sports, and also the games that aren't on Bally Sports, they'll be streaming live on YouTube. And there's some native. Hockey players that we got to get on the show.
I know. Unfortunately, I didn't see any. I don't think any that are native players that play for Minnesota right now, but there are four that are playing across the league. I believe there's the original six teams right now. So Jamie Lee Rattray is Metis. She plays for Boston. We've got Abby Roque, which is Wanapete First Nation. She's on the Team New York. Jocelyn Lekeroke is Metis. She's on Toronto. And Victoria Bach is plays for Toronto as well, and she's Mohawks of the Bay.
Wow, that's cool. Well, we'll have to get them on and talk about them because I know I saw a news piece about that, and the young girls are excited, and that's really cool to hear. And for sure, women's hockey has come such a long way since I was watching it 30 years ago. I had some students that were playing in the St. Paul League here, and I'd go watch their game, and wow, it's really changed, and it's really, really exciting game. So we'll have to... we'll have to get them as a sponsor, but also reach out to some of these players and celebrate their achievements and being a professional hockey player.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I know that there's a lot of Olympic players. I think we have probably four on our team. Mm-hmm. I would maybe double check that, but yeah, some of the girls, you know, I'm trying to think off the top of my head, Kelly Panic or actually, Taylor Heisey was their overall, Minnesota's overall draft pick. Taylor Heisey is coming out of the U of M. She played for the Gophers. I actually filmed a couple of the Gophers women's hockey games at my time at the U. So it's just amazing to kind of see these girls come full circle and kind of get up to the professional level. And I'm really excited. This is huge. You know, as a kid, I never saw... women's professional hockey, you know, being a thing. And I think that kind of dampened a lot of young girls' dreams on, you know, what to do in the sport after college. But this is a huge game changer.
How many teams are there?
I think there's original six right now.
Okay. That's cool. So what cities are there? Are they in?
Yeah, well, we got New York, Minnesota, Toronto. That's a great question.
Well, we'll have to get him on and ask him, or use that G thing, the Google.
The G. Yeah. Well, what's crazy too is that when they announced that, you know, the women were gonna have a professional league, they just announced this in the past spring. So, it's been a tight schedule to get everything, whether that's jerseys, picking out the jersey colors, getting your captains, getting a team together. It's just amazing, and I'm excited to see what each team picks as their team name, because they haven't picked them yet.
Right. Oh, wow. That's even cool. They haven't picked their names. Wow, that's cool. I'll have to figure that out. I think what we, it's interesting too, and we talk about Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. And I always tell the Lieutenant Governor, it's great, especially when I was teaching, it was great to, for my students to see somebody that looks like them in that role, being Lieutenant Governor, the highest Native American elected official in the country. But also, I think, too, in being in hockey and the young girls being able to see that not only is there a future, but there are role models for them.
Yeah, great point. I agree completely. So, yeah, catch the girls, Minnesota's first game, playing Boston at 6 p.m. today.
Oh, you said that with a Boston accent. That was cool. I saw what you did there.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break. What should they do, Haley?
Hey, with us.
Yeah.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hi, I'm Claudia with MinSure, Minnesota's official health insurance marketplace. With MinSure, you can compare health plans from multiple companies and get free help from a trusted expert. Whatever health plan you choose with MinSure, it's guaranteed to cover essential benefits so you can get the care you need. See if you qualify for discounts, available only through MinSure. If you need quality, comprehensive health insurance, get started now at MinSure.org.
As we pack away the ornaments and bid farewell to the holiday season, it's time to unwrap the gift that keeps on giving, getting protected by a COVID-19 vaccination. This is your chance to make a difference, especially as our Native communities face higher COVID numbers. Those higher numbers underscore the need for collective action. So answer the call and get vaccinated. The latest vaccines are not just authorized, but they're proven effective against the current variants. This is extra protection, even if you've already had previous vaccines, since previous vaccines will eventually wear off. Plus, the new shots are FDA approved for ages 6 months and up. A COVID vaccine is not just a shot. It's a pledge to safeguard the wisdom and stories handed down by our elders. So join the movement, get vaccinated, and make 2024 the healthiest year ever. Securing a brighter future for our Native community. For more information, including details about clinics offering free vaccines, visit vaccines.gov.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
I sounded like an alien there introducing the show. Hey, we have Willard Mailbear on, and he is artist, founder, and CEO of United Theory Collective, among many things, too. But also, it's his birthday today, and I don't know if Haley and I should break out and start singing happy birthday, but maybe we should see how the interview goes first, and then we'll sing happy birthday at the end if it goes well.
Hey
Willard, thanks so much for coming on, really. And I've been reading what you've been doing for artists, and watching your story, and I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your story and what you're doing in Minneapolis, and also, you know, the 38 plus 2 run, and you're a tattoo artist. So there's a lot of things to celebrate and talk to you about. I want to just welcome you to Native Roots Radio.
Hi, how's it going? Yeah, it's an honor to be here. It's definitely my birthday. It feels like it isn't my birthday. I actually just finished a tattoo about 2 minutes ago and was had someone else put the bandage on for me. And I was like, just leave the money on the desk. I got to run over here real quick. And then flew over here like right at 5:15, went to pull it up on my MacBook. And of course, it wasn't supported by Safari. So downloaded Chrome real quick. And here we are.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much. Hey, you have a compelling story about United Theory Collective. I wonder if you mind sharing that with our audience all over Turtle Island.
Yeah. So I think the beginning of the story kind of starts about 7 years ago when I was in active drug use and really like, besides family, the only things that were like keeping me moving forward was art. So like even when I was using and stuff and in active addiction, art was always sort of like this, you know, life preserver in my existence. And I feel like when I got incarcerated, you know, art quickly became like my only support for myself. And like it gave me an identity and sort of just it was like my biggest tool for wellness and self-confidence. And it kind of just rebuilt the structure that I needed as a person. And, you know, while I was incarcerated, I was able to be an art tutor and do artwork for the staff of the prisons and for the Commissioner of Corrections. I ended up doing the Challenge Incarceration Program where I was able to do the boot camp and be released early, and I was able to be released 2.5 years early. But while I was in the boot camp program, the staff there were really supportive of, you know, art and like, you know, supported me going back to school and doing art. And during, you know, that time in boot camp, like I was able to paint murals. And I remember being in, you know, the prison and painting on the walls and just being like, this is the best moment of my life, you know, like this is amazing. Like, even though I'm in prison and, you know, who knows what's going to happen in the next couple of years, like this moment right now creating is such like my beacon of hope and like my guiding light. And, you know, during that time also, I was able to go to like an EP and sweat like every weekend inside of the boot camp prison. And so like, you know, culture really started being like my other foundation. And I started having like a healthy relationship with like my family. And, you know, when I was released from incarceration, I had made a commitment when I was first incarcerated 2.5 years prior to like be sober and do good and to just be committed to being an artist. And when I was released, I was able to do art with people. And you know, I went to college and I was able to sell some artwork. And, you know, I just could really identify that like art and creativity was like needed in like the wellness community and in like people coming out of incarceration, and people just needed access to art supplies and art materials. Cause when I was released from prison, I was blessed enough to have family and friends that like gave me art supplies and sort of like, you know, supported me as an artist. But like, while I was in prison and right when I got released, just talking to my peers of being like, hey, you know, like, you know, art is for everyone. We could all do this, and just kind of telling them what art was doing for me. And they were just like, well, I don't know how to do art. And there is, you know, it's super hard to like get into the artist community as someone that just is like, you know, is curious about it and doesn't really have an art background. And, you know, it was that first couple months there of being released when I was really like recognizing like, you know, creativity is super needed in this community. And, you know, I ended up going back into tattooing, and during like, maybe like my second year of being released from prison, like my mom passed away. And then that first couple months, my dad actually passed away. Mm. And I was doing a lot of, culture stuff. And after my mom passed away, you know, I was, you know, I had a newborn son, but I was like, you know, just going through the ups and downs of, you know, being a father and losing my last parents and just trying to do as much art as I could and tattooing at the time just felt like it was more of like a job, but I was still like in the recovery community. And I started doing these like guided paintings and illustrations for the recovery community as these like creative events with like my friend Aubrey. And, you know, together we were doing these little pop-up events and really working with like organizations and businesses in the recovery community. And I started being like, you know, I think we could do this in a space, like as a business, and somehow like enable creativity in the community while also still being like, you know, wellness and recovery focused. And it just, it, you know, we kind of identified this like need in the community for something like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to have some close friends that were willing to take like a financial business risk on me and sort of like what I was passionate about. And they're like, you know, we will help get you into a tattoo shop and we'll help you open up this, you know, art interaction with the community space. And at the time it didn't have a name. And we just knew that, you know, we found this building. I can kind of give you a quick little peek around. We found this space and, you know, it's pretty big. But we ended up, you know, occupying this space. This is the art center. Right next door is the tattoo shop. And, you know, the tattoo shop was something I was familiar with the industry. So there wasn't much like guesswork there. But with like the Unified Theory Collective, it was like, what are we going to do here? Like, how are we going to make this like not only profitable, but like work? Because in the beginning, it was like, do we make it a nonprofit? And I had no experience in nonprofits. And at that point, I also had no experience in for-profits. But, you know, it came down to this idea loosely based off the internet, where we sort of like sell at our space as an advertising platform to businesses. And then we take those like, you know, advertising and marketing money and fuel art supplies for the community. So wow. It's like the community comes in and uses or has pay what you can access to like art materials, essentially free, because they don't, you know, if they're in a position where they can't afford to pay anything, then, you know, those are the people that we want to come, you know. And, you know, generally the offset would be the people that can afford it would pay, and whatever was in between, the businesses like that are giving us money to have their logos on the wall, they kind of, we use that money to offset the difference there. And that was the idea of it. And that's kind of, you know, how we opened it, was just sort of this like, you know, art supplies for advertisement. And some of the larger members of the collective, they get like creative events for their businesses. So, you know, we just try to make it work so that way people could have access to art materials and have an art space to just come and use whenever they need, you know. And being, you know, a new business owner, I had no idea how to make it work, and I'm still learning it every day, you know what I mean? So yeah.
Heck, Haley and I need to come down there and get applique tattoos on our arm for our family. We're Ho-Chunk, and we do the applique, and it's always good for us as Native Americans to have another Native American artist do our tattoos. You know, I feel like, you know, you being in recovery, you're really giving it away to keep it. And that's kind of a saying that we have in recovery. I've been sober almost 40 years now, and in order to stay sober and to stay sane and clean, you have to give it away. And wow, you are giving it away. I just, I'm amazed by your story, right, Haley?
Oh, absolutely. I never really knew about like a free community art studio where they kind of supplied those resources and made it like an open environment where people who maybe feel like they, you know, aren't good creating art, or, you know, like you said, they've never done it, they can come into this space and be surrounded by others in the same position and kind of be uplifted. And I think on your website too, here it says creativity equals wellness. And I completely agree with that.
Yeah. You know, and it's been brought up recently that, you know, we aren't to replace like professional help for forms of wellness, but more or less, you know, as something for people that, you know, aren't maybe ready to make that jump to professional help, but would, you know, like to escape some of the smaller symptoms of, you know, social crisis with doodling. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. Hey, we're with Willard Mailbear, and he's artist, founder, and CEO of Unified Theory Collective.
Like a touchdown on your radio dial. And home of the Packers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
CBS News Brief. Newly unsealed court records include mentions of Jeffrey Epstein's friendship with Bill Clinton, who is not accused of any wrongdoing, and of Britain's Prince Andrew, who settled a lawsuit involving a teenager who traveled with Epstein. Criminal defense attorney Joseph Tully says of the late financier,
not everything that he did was criminal. He did a lot of philanthropical work. So it could mean that he did legitimate work with people who were out to do something good.
The Justice Department sues Texas over a law that would let police arrest migrants who enter the U.S. illegally. CBS's Rob Legere.
The federal suit seeks to invalidate Senate Bill 4, which was recently signed into law, as DOJ officials said the new statute violated the Supremacy Clause of the Constitution.
The search is on for whoever fatally shot an imam in front of his Newark, New Jersey mosque. Attorney General Matt Platt.
The evidence collected thus far does not indicate that this was an act motivated by bias or an act of domestic terrorism.
CBS News Brief. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
WRJN.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Workers at Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin are working to form a union. They're being represented by the Wisconsin Federation of Nurses and Health Professionals. They say that unionizing will help improve their working environment and enhance patient care. They expect around 100 Planned Parenthood workers to be included in the union. 22 states raised their minimum wage on New Year's Day, but not Wisconsin, where baseline pay remains at $7.25 an hour. More businesses are raising pay on their own, but not everyone benefits.
For the workers who really have those constraints on opportunity because of their concerns about immigration status, concerns about physical mobility, employers can really take advantage of that.
Laura Dresser is a labor economist who studied the issue for the Center on Wisconsin Strategy. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
WRJN.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly cloudy skies for the majority of the night. Light north winds and lows in the mid-20s. On Thursday, mostly sunny skies developing with highs in the lower 30s. Clouds will be rolling back in for Friday. We'll close out the work week in the middle 30s. It's 33 at our studios.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
When you think about it, talk radio is its own type of sport. News Talk and Sports, 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by J.S. Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
Oh, boy, are we awake. Hey, we are here with Willard Mailbear, and he's artist and founder and CEO of Unified Theory Collective, and it's his birthday. And, you know, I have a few questions for you, and really, really happy that you're on, Willard, and what great work. I'm wondering, first of all, I want to let all our people know, because we have people in Wisconsin, and we're on 18 stations in Wisconsin and Iowa and the Dakotas, too, along in the Minnesota. Let people know where a Unified Theory Collective is and what the hours are and how we can get a hold of you.
Yeah, we are located in South Minneapolis. It's 1415 West 35th Street. In Uptown Minneapolis. We're actually open Wednesday through Friday, 3 to 8 p.m. And then the weekends we're open noon to 8 p.m. And like I said, attached to the art center is my tattoo shop, Iktomi Tattoo, which is, it's literally the door right next to it. They share a bathroom. It's a great space. We got a lot of great artists there too.
Well, we'll have to come by, and I know I can perfect my stickmen, my native stickmen, and start painting them. When did you realize you were an artist, Willard? Was it prior to being incarcerated, or you did it in school and then really did it in prison and started really thinking about your future?
Yeah. I think when I was about 4 or 5 years old, I remember being at my grandparents' house in Iowa, and I was playing in like their front patio area, and there was this like scribble drawing on the wall, and it had all these like little shapes made in the scribbles, and each one of them was colored in different. And I remember being like, that's awesome. You know, what is that? And my mom came in and she's like, I drew that in college. And I remember just like my mind being blown. I was like, my mom made this? And I was like, Mom, show me how to make this. And she was like, oh, for sure. And we like sat down and we just like scribbled. And then she showed me how to like color in each one different. And I remember that was the first time I ever did art. And I remember that was it. From then on, it was just like, this is cool. Like you can make stuff and it's like, you get to keep it. And it's like a thing. I don't know. I was always just super fascinated by that. And, you know, ever since then, I feel like I just nerded out on art. And, you know, we moved around a lot. So it was like, sometimes when we'd move, I didn't have like friends, but I always had art supplies and like my mom, you know what I mean? And we just did art. And I feel like once I was in like sixth grade, I had just like doodled so much that it was like I was the doodler in class. And then by like seventh grade, it was like, oh, you're the artist in class. And then, you know, it just kind of stuck with it. And even throughout like all my, you know, early 20s and stuff, like I skateboarded a lot, but I was always like an artist. And I feel like, you know, I ended up getting an opportunity to be a tattoo artist when I was 23 here in Minneapolis and took advantage of that. And that went great for like 2 years. But in that first 2 years, you know, I got exposed to drugs, just big city, you know, tattoo artist stuff, and being like a little city art skateboarder. It all went to my head and it just got out of control. You know what I mean? It was too much.
So here's an off question. Do you still skateboard?
Yeah. Yeah. We got a skateboard in here. Actually, we got three skateboards inside the art center. We just cruise around. It's like, you know, one of the luxuries of being the owner is you can skateboard inside your own business.
That's right. Well, my Ojibwe son-in-law is still skateboarding at 43. And so I know it's an awesome, awesome community in the cities, and a lot of good things happen too. And with the skateboarders in that community. Can you talk a little bit about the 38 plus 2? I know this year for me, I missed it because I had COVID, so I wasn't able to go to Fort Snelling and go to Mankato like I have in the past years. I understand that you're going to be taking that over.
Yeah. My relationship with the run has always been, you know, so like my mom, my dad separated when I was young, and my dad would always talk about the run, and my mom would always talk about the run. And I remember it, especially because my mom was always like, you know, your dad started it the year you were born. And, you know, she would tell me about like how he had a vision, and like the Owens family kind of helped my dad interpret the vision. And they all kind of came together because they realized that they were all being called to like, you know, do this run to honor the Dakota 38 plus two. And so, like, I remember hearing that much of the story, but I unfortunately wasn't, like, raised around my culture. And when I moved to Minneapolis when I was 21 and I lived with my dad, I didn't know anyone here. Well, you know, we would go to the run. We went to the run that first year. And I think Dallas Goldtooth was running it that year. And, you know, I was able to start the run and, you know, carried the staff a little bit. But by that point, I was already, like, not in a good way. You know what I mean? And so I like, I ran across the bridge and I handed the staff off and I was just cooked, couldn't run anymore. And, you know, I ended up partying and just like, you know, knowing that can't go to ceremony unless you're like clean, you know what I mean? And so like, that was always like my excuse. I would find a reason not to have anything to do with it. And then, you know, that would always break my dad's heart, but like, you know, we grew apart, like me and culture for a while. And then when I got out of, you know, prison this most recent time, you know, when I was in prison doing boot camp, I was running a lot. And I like communicated with my dad while he was still alive that, you know, I wanted to do the run. And when I got out, you know, I was in contact with Shishoka, the organizer. That first year I had COVID and I couldn't go. And that next year we didn't do it. Oh no, that first year they didn't do the run because of COVID. And then the year after that, when I was like ready to do it, I got COVID and couldn't do it. And then, you know, last year I was able to do the run, started the run and co-organized it and ended the run. Cause Shishoka had said, you know, I think it's, you know, it feels like you're the next generation. You should take over this run. It just feels like it's your turn. And, you know, if you can accept that commitment, you know what I mean? You make that commitment to creator to do this run for the people. So I, you know, I was honored to, you know, take that on. And, you know, like I'm super transparent about like, you know, I'm just learning culture. I'm just starting to like make a commitment to learning the language and, you know, but, you know, I'm honored to be in that position for my community. And, you know, it's super emotional to like be there with like Austin Owen and, you know, thinking about my dad and thinking about like his dad and his family. And it's like, you know, to be able to like be in a good way on the Red Road and be, you know, able to, you know, carry on the run, you know what I mean? And just think about like my dad and my mom and stuff. It just seems, sometimes it seems like a movie, but it seems so right that it's like, you know, I feel like I'm right where I should be in the universe when we do the run. And it just, it feels really good to be there. And it's very powerful.
Last year it was really cold and snowy. I remember that. And this year would have been a good one for me, but again, I had COVID, so I wasn't going to go out. And I mean, Art Owen and all those cats that really led the way for us. And what's really good, Willard, too, is even though you may have been away from community for a while, you were always still Native, and you're coming back strong. And sometimes you have to take two steps back to take three forward. And I commend you. And we need young warriors like you.
Thank you. Yeah, it's sometimes it seems surreal, you know, like I just talked to my parole agent today and she was like, hey, I saw you on the news. And, you know, just so you know, like, we're all super proud of you and you're doing good. And it's just like, you know, 7 years ago, I never would have thought that was going to be me ever, you know, like before I made the commitment to sobriety and, you know, being an artist, like I feel like I was just as equally committed to being a criminal and just living the renegade life. And, you know, to be here today and to be able to like represent my family and to be a part of culture is just amazing. And, you know, I try to tell people all the time, it doesn't take anything more than a real commitment and patience to start seeing, you know, all these promises of sobriety come true.
Well, it's interesting. When I was in early recovery, I remember a person at one of those 12-step meetings that I still go to, told me, he said somebody came up to him and he was a very successful businessman and had like 17 years of sobriety at the time, which I thought was a million years. And he said that somebody told me that, you know, when people sober up, they just are unbelievable and they can do anything they put their mind to it. And he told me that he was dumb enough to believe him, and he handed that story to me because I think once we put the plug in the jug and are clear-minded, we can do anything, and you're a great example of that. And, you know, just giving it away to the community, I just have really good feelings for you and your recovery and what you're doing. And it's fun being an urban Indian, too. There's so many of us running around here in the Twin Cities.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. No, it's a great community, again, and I'm just so thankful to be healthy enough to enjoy it and be here, be present.
Right on. Willard, we only got a couple minutes left, and what I'd love you to be able to do is just tell everybody how and where your tattoo business, and then also how we can find you and United Theory Collective, and just give a quick plug again.
Yeah, you know, both the tattoo shop and the art center, Unified Theory Collective, are located in South Minneapolis, at 1415 West 35th Street, and that's in Uptown. It's like right off of Hennepin down in South Minneapolis, kind of by the lake. And you know, the tattoo shop is Iktomi Tattoo. It's actually in honor of my dad. My dad always identified as like spider spirit and was definitely a trickster. And it's always fun, you know, telling people that knew my dad the name of the tattoo shop, because it's just iconically perfect. He was hardly serious sometimes, but, you know, and yeah, the Unified Theory Collective, where we share the building, and, you know, would love to see anyone come through at any time. We're always welcome. Like, even if the art center is not open, you can come into the tattoo shop and just hang out and enjoy the space.
Well, you know, Haley and I will be there, and we have to get that family applique a tattoo. So my Weeha Mahinu will be down there, and my wife. And so we're going to be coming down there and bugging you and getting a nice applique tattoo. Really, really appreciate you coming on, Willard. It's always great to celebrate a great story like yours. And happy birthday. Really. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I'm just getting ready to go see my 2-year-old and snuggle him. So
right on.
Thank you so much for having me on here. It was an honor. Very thankful. Thank you so much.
We'll do it again, Willard. We'll do it again. Right. PG, thank you so much, and we'll see you soon. Wow, we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and up next, Bob Blake from Red Lake with the Solar Bear with the Solar News. Ho-wa!
As we age, it's important to invest in our health and to help protect it. Like the flu, COVID-19 is always changing. That's why it's important to stay up to date on your vaccines. By getting the flu and COVID-19 vaccines, you can renew your body's defenses and lower the risk of getting sick. Get your health boost and protect yourself against the flu and COVID-19. Find vaccines near you at vaccines.gov. That's vaccines.gov.
I'm Angela Warner with Warner Stallion, and if you know me, you know I love a good bargain, which is why I'm telling you about our year-end appliance clearance. Our stores are packed with red-tagged closeouts, scratch and dents, and floor model appliances priced to sell so we can make room for next year's models. And if you buy more now, you save more. Get an additional 10% off 2 red tags and 15% off 3. You'll still enjoy our famous free delivery by our trusted specialists. So hurry into your local Warner Stallion to score a deal before they're gone.
Unveil the captivating world of Native photography at the Minneapolis Institute of Art. Their new exhibit, In Our Hands, Native Photography 1890 to Now, turns the camera around and puts Native photographers in control, featuring hundreds of photographs captured by generations of First Nations, Métis, Inuit, and Native Americans. You'll view the world through their lens, revealing the beauty and complexity of Indigenous heritage. Don't miss this incredible experience. Visit In Our Hands at the Minneapolis Institute of Art now through January 14th. For more info, visit artsmia.org.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs,
Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
How? Hey, it's Wednesday and we got Bob Blake from Red Lake. I always love saying that, but we got Robert Blake, Solar Bear with the Solar News, checking in. Good to see you, Bob. And we just had an awesome guest. I don't know if you listened to it, but Willard was just unbelievable. And so you have a lot to live up to here in this last part.
Oh, man, that's incredible. I'm sorry I missed it. He's a tattoo. He does tattoos.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I used to do security for the guys at Leviticus Tattoo Shop on Lake Street. I used to do they used to have these really big parties, like for Halloween and New Year's Eve and all that stuff. And well, they would hire yours truly because I was the best in the business in the Twin Cities at the time. And
the most humble too, I heard.
Yeah. And we would bring in our crew. And it was always a really good time. Those guys at Leviticus actually threw the coolest parties, though. I mean, they'd have like koi fish ponds and people walking around in outfits serving drinks. I was crazy.
Hey, I see you got a new hat there. I can't wait to get one of those. Those look really sharp.
That is the Solar Bear. That is the Solar Bear hat. Hey, Robert.
Rebel Inc.
What's the place called? I forgot what they're called right now.
Okay, tell me later.
Yeah. But I do have an announcement, Robert, that I have to make, and I have to invite you and Haley too. The Solar Bear has been asked to co-host an event for our very own Lieutenant Governor, a fundraiser event on January 30th. And so I'll get you the details, Mr. Pilot, but you are invited. Of course, Haley's invited, and whomever you guys want to bring. But this is to support our Lieutenant Governor and the wonderful work that she does for the state of Minnesota and, you know, all that good stuff. So I'll get you the information and you can post it, and anybody and all is welcome. And this is to donate to Lieutenant Governor and Peggy Flanagan and all the wonderful work that she does for all of us.
Right on. We'll be there. I don't know if you saw pictures, but we were at the governor's mansion and got Christmas pictures with the governor and the Lieutenant Governor, Wendy and I, and Haley was there too. And just hanging out, you know, with the gov. And so we'd be glad.
And so I'm sorry, everyone that's listening. I've never hosted co-hosted a fundraiser. The Solar Bear doesn't do this kind of stuff. Apparently the Solar Bear will be doing this kind of stuff now.
Have cookies and crackers and cheese and I guess some wine for people that want to, you know, get them liquor to donate a lot of money.
Yeah, so it's going to be really, I guess it's going to be held, right, at the Midtown Exchange on top of, in one of the penthouses there.
Oh.
And so that's like right where, you know, the Natives Food Lab is. And so I'm thinking that's maybe who caters. I don't even know yet. So I don't even want to speak out of turn here. But anyways.
What time are you thinking we could maybe even do, if it's during our show, we could do maybe a live show out there too.
Yeah, let's do that. It's from 6 to 7:30. Maybe we could do the show beforehand and then we could go right into the party. I don't know.
Yep. Yeah.
So we can have the Lieutenant Governor on. Okay, everybody. Everybody needs to listen. January 30th, we're gonna make this happen. this is how it works out for the Solar Bear.
There we go. We like hanging with the Solar Bear, so that good things happen to us too.
That's huge, Bob. Congrats.
So I got a really good story here, Robert. You know, I think a lot of people kind of ask themselves, like, hey, how do I get involved with the climate crisis? Or how do I get involved with, like, what's happening? You know, how can I do something, right? Mm-hmm. I want to let everybody know right now, we're kind of on this theme right now about we've been talking about the Lieutenant Governor Flanagan and all the great work she's doing for us. And, you know, she's working with the state. Well, let me tell you something, Robert. Mm-hmm. The state of Minnesota is in a hiring mode right now. In their energy resources, the state's division of energy resources has added 64 new positions this year. Just this year, Robert, 64. Wow. Now, they want to add, they want to get close to 150. So that's about another 100 positions, 100 more Minnesotans that they want to hire that are going to be working on climate change mitigation, adaptation strategies for the state of Minnesota, serving the citizens of the state. Because, Robert, you know and I know that this was the hottest year on record.
Yeah.
Okay. Going back 150,000 years, this is the hottest year on record. So, people, this is real. It's happening. Let's get our head wrapped around it. Okay. And let's do something about it. Okay. Let's not sit back and think somebody else is going to do it. Let's do something about it. So that's the Solar Bears message here. And I think this is a wonderful opportunity for those of you out there that want to get involved, that want to do something tangible. You know, and we're all doing it, right? We're all a part of the solution. Mm-hmm. But here's a really wonderful opportunity to work for the state of Minnesota. So go onto their website, check it out, Minnesota Department of Commerce, Division of Energy Resources. I believe this is Pete Wyckoff's division. I'm almost positive. I think this is Pete and those guys that are part of this, Lisa. You know, I think this is a really great job opportunity for those of you that want to get involved with climate change and the solutions to help our community in our state.
Yeah, that is exciting news. And we're heading in the right direction. We got to move quicker. And I like your call to action. That's everybody that is listening can get involved and get involved, because planet Earth is going to be here forever. It's us that are going to be fried up to shriveled little Indians here if the global warming keeps happening like it is.
Absolutely, Robert, and that's why I think it's really important that, you know, if you know, that we vote, you know, our politicians, and this goes from state to local to tribal, right, that we get, you know, climate champions such as yourself, Robert, you know, that can speak for the people, you know, that will create those policies, right, that, you know, will then implement, that then will be a catalyst, you know, for the change that we want to see, you know, in the fight against climate change.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, you know, we only got like a minute left here in the show. Robert, how can people click on your website and kind of figure, kind of find out what you're doing and how they can support you, and give your websites as a Native Sun too.
Yeah. Everyone. It's www.solarbear.earth. I should just say solarbear.earth. And it's nativesun.org. I'm still old school, Robert. I still say www. Yeah. Like, no one knows what the worldwide internet. It's solarbear.earth. It's solarbear.org or nativesun.org. And you can go on there and you can see what we're doing. Robert, we're going to be doing some pressers, because we're going to have about 10 electric vehicles that we're going to be delivering to the Red Lake community from this EV charging grant that we've been working on. So that's going to be coming out very shortly this month.
I heard rumors you're only sending 9 up to Red Lake and 1 over here on Jefferson Avenue.
Yeah, you know what? We are actually sending 1 over here to Lake Street. You're exactly correct. But that, Robert, is what's happening at January 30th, everyone. The Solar Bear with the Solar News and Native Roots Radio will be coming live to you from the Lieutenant Governor Flanagan.
Fundraiser. Right on. Hey, Bob, thanks for
News, Talk, and Sports. Talk about your triple play.
Get this guy a jockstrap and a cookie.
1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
WRJN.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Your home for the Packers. 1400 AM WRJN Racine, 99.9 FM W260CV Racine, and 98.1 FM W251BU Kenosha. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.